I think we start by responding to Roberto's request for some background in the different sciences. And I will start in physics and cosmology with help from colleagues who I'm sure will disagree. But the point is to really demarcate where the lines of disagreement are and what the issues are and how they relate to the issue of evolving laws. And then we'll go to biology and computer science. So there are, I think, three issues which we can discuss when it comes to physics and cosmology, and I'll just mention them. One of them is the issue of, which now goes under the name of, quote, the landscape of theories. And I'm just going to write them down and then say what they are. Okay. This is an area of very hot contemporary debate. Then there is the issue which several people mentioned, particularly Simon, and I think it's a very important part of background, is what do we know about time and evolving geometry in classical general relativity? And because that's a background for much of our thinking. And then there is the issue of the relationship to quantum theory, that is quantum gravity and cosmology. Okay, so I think that's the physics background that we'll briefly describe. So what is the issue of the landscape of theories? There was a dream, if you like, that motivated much of theoretical physics, which is the idea that if you could make a unified theory, that unification, that is unification of the different particles and forces, and unification of the laws, forces, particles. This has been the primary goal of 20th century theoretical physics, was to enlarge our understanding and complete our understanding of the laws of nature. And there was the great theme of unification. And there was an assumption that the theme of that a unified theory would be unique. That is, that if we could find a unified theory, it would be the theory of nature, and that therefore that would lead to unique predictions and explanations. Now, the experience of the last two decades is a failure of this hope, and this is the reason for the crisis and for interest in evolving laws. So let me mention two research programs which have contributed to this crisis. One of them is string theory. So string theory is, and we can of course say much more about any of these things, but I can see the board is evolving as well. String theory is a hypothesis about unifying the laws of nature. It's an incompletely understood hypothesis, but still it's a hypothesis, and I'm trying to hold it still here.
What's the protocol? Just interrupt, or are we supposed to listen, or?
Yes, no, no. Since I'm speaking, Darren is cheering.
Oh, am I? In that case, catch my eye and raise your hand, and at some opportune pause, you'll be called on. If you really feel any interrupt, raise both hands, and I will find the next available. The only The only issue is that I'm sort of looking there, so I'll try to keep my periphery, push the hair back, and try to be aware. But your hand has been raised. Yes.
So let me go a little bit. Mm-hmm. Let me complete the thought and then pause. Mm-hmm. So what happened in string theory is there was an original discovery of a theory that there was evidence was a unification of everything. It came originally in five versions, and those five versions governed physics if the world had nine dimensions of space. People said, but there are not nine dimensions of space, there are three, so this six extra have to be folded up in some very small geometry. There, it turned out people could write down necessary conditions to get something like our universe for how the six dimensions folded up. That yielded about 100,000 theories, okay, plus many, many free parameters, but 100,000 distinct ways to fold up the extra dimensions. All those 100,000 theories, however, disagreed with an observation that was made over the last three, four, five years, which is that the energy density of empty space appears to be positive. And that was a crisis that is getting the theory to agree with the observed, it's sometimes called the cosmological constant, and it turns out that there is evidence that that crisis is resolvable, and you can have a theory that agrees with the observation that this constant is positive. Another term that's used for this is that the expansion of the universe is accelerating. But in the course of solving that problem, even it turned out that if it's solved through a very complicated sort of Rube Goldberg device, but if it's possible to solve it, it can be solved many different ways. And in fact, there are about 10 to the 500 estimated distinct ways to solve that problem. All of which satisfy certain necessary but not sufficient conditions for the existence of a unified theory. And indeed, further work suggests that there are likely an infinite number of distinct theories, if there are any. I should say we have incomplete knowledge of all of these theories. Okay. And so this has led to a crisis, and these theories are referred to as the landscape of theories now in the current literature, which is, I think, there's a history to that word, but in any case, it is a borrowing from theoretical biology. Okay, let me pause there for.
Well, yeah, just the idea that a theory is unique is not the same thing as having a theory that gives unique predictions or explanations. I mean, those are completely unrelated logically, as far as I can tell.
Yes, yes.
And I mean, for many different reasons.
Yes. So one hypothesis that has arisen, so we want to discuss the different views. One hypothesis is that there is a further unification of all these theories remaining to be discovered, and these theories will all be, I'm just going to let it go up, these theories will all be solutions to some greater theory. Okay. So that is the, I guess I have to do this, we have to get this fixed. That is, there's a conjecture, okay, that all these stand as solutions to an unknown theory, a presently unknown theory, which has a name, it's been christened, quote, M theory. The name refers to the fact that it's mysterious and we don't know what it is. It also refers in some people's minds to some other things, but, so a view which is popular is that these distinct theories are actually stand to this new theory, which is unknown, in the same way that the different trajectories that you might throw a ball on stand to Newton's laws, that is, they're all solutions to some unknown law. So this is exactly this issue of meta-law thing. And it's a natural move to hypothesize the existence of a meta-law, although this is how things stand. It has not been written down. Now, one way that the apparent failure to find a unique theory might be ameliorated is to remove one thing that's wrong. I mean, if you set out to find a unique theory, you do so because you believe the universe is unique. And then there's this mismatch that there's many versions of the theory in one universe. But were there many universes, that problem would be relaxed. So that many people in cosmology are now speculating, and this began from various independent points of view, but it's gotten some support, at least in a kind of ideological sense, from these developments. So there is this idea of the multiverse, so that there are also many regions of space, many universes, and there are a number of multiverse scenarios, and they can be characterized two ways. One of them is that there's some mechanism that creates them, and there's some mechanism for theory selection. That is, how the different versions of the theory are distributed amongst the different versions of the universe. And that leads to probabilistic studies where people try to do statistics with the population of universes and population of laws. And there's a variety of points of view there. One point of view is called the anthropic principle. It comes in several versions, but in its most benign version, it says we should limit attention to those universes whose laws allow us to exist. And that that it may be in there every possible point of view you can imagine has been advocated, among them that we are no longer in an era of modern physics where the purpose of science is to make predictions. The purpose of science may be just to discover which universe we're living in. And anyway, there's a lot to say about this. Another point of view which I'll mention just because it's mine, is that if there's any hope out of this conundrum, something analogous to natural selection must be called on to give in the sense of the quote of Peirce that I read, to give a explanation for why universes would be prevalent which satisfy the laws. Which allow us to exist. So that is the situation as it was with respect to string theory. I'll say.
Is there some sense of time evolving laws in this scenario? It sounds like you have a given universe has the same laws.
There are two senses, and here I hope that somebody will correct me. There are different notions, and there are, roughly speaking, notions where there is a theory called eternal inflation, which from this point of view says that there is a kind of static state which exists possibly it had a beginning, possibly for all time. It's sort of often pictured like this. It's pictured as a very rapidly expanding bubble of gas within which droplets, this is a picture where time is running up, which in with droplets form, which are possible universes. You didn't think you were going to get to see. And the point of this is that the conjecture is that the statistical distribution of laws is static, is unchanging in time. And people, various people advocate this. Critics of it like to point out that, well, the background, there was earlier in the 20th century a fierce debate between people who saw the universe as evolving, the quote Big Bang theorists, and people who saw the universe as static and eternal and attempted to interpret the evidence for evolution in terms of a static, eternal picture. That debate was resolved in the 1960s, to most experts' opinion, in favor of the evolving historical picture. And some people would say that this is an attempt to reimpose the static eternal picture. That is, that the even if a given universe is evolving and has its history, the population of universes and laws is static.
I think Stu has a comment.
Just one thing, Lee. One's attempting to, I mean, I heard you say, may not be what you meant to say, but that one way of handling a plethora of string theories is to have a plethora of universes, in each one of which there would be one particular choice of the 10 to the 500 string
yes.
theories. That does require that the number of universes happen to match the ever-changing number of string theories. Why should that work out?
Well, sure. And this mechanism, is since it is eternal, is capable of generating an arbitrarily large by any time. The conjecture is that the distribution stabilizes and grows exponentially, rather like an unchecked biological population grows exponentially with the proportions of different.
Right. Okay, good.
So I think the best thing is to close this. Let me just mention that there are alternative viewpoints, including the black hole universe creation, that is, which gives a distribution which is like biology, i.e. universes rather than all coming out of one, I don't know what to call it, primitive, eternal universe, give rise to each other in just the way of biological creatures. And here, the distribution is time dependent, as it is in biology, is necessarily time dependent. So there are contrasting ideas about how the ensemble or the community of universes is generated that lead to different methodologies, sometime independent, sometime dependent. And I think the issues of time itself, that leads into the issues of time, and I think we'll bracket those and put those back. I think I agree with John in the sense that we should move on to biology and computer science and then come back to physics to the notion of time.
Just for the sake of closure, could you tell us whether the alternative theories which lead space for evolving laws in the agenda of this meeting are very much a minority viewpoint?
Yes.
Very minority.
I don't know about very much, but a minority viewpoint, yes.
Could you just very briefly describe, despite your admonition just now, how you understand the standard view of the relation between time and evolving geometry?
In general relativity, the Let me say what is common with the rest of physics and then what is different from it. Okay. In general relativity, there is a, I drew it somewhere and then erased it, but I think we need it. There is a space of configurations. It's a rather intricate and unsolved mathematical problem to construct the space explicitly, but there is a space of possible configurations. A point in the space is a three-dimensional geometry of the universe.
Are you recording yourself?
Is he? Do we even know the recording is on again after?
You want to go? And so a point corresponds to some three-dimensional geometry. Imagine a three-dimensional version of a curved surface. A history is a trajectory. And the laws that Einstein gave us select trajectories, which are the histories, so that a trajectory then is, if you will, a sequence of three geometries evolving. And that is just like Newton's laws, and let me just draw that a slightly different way. So here is a space-time history. A slice through it is a three-dimensional geometry. And you can see motion in the space of configurations as succeeding slices through the space-time. So just imagine it looks quite, if space had only one dimension, it would look just like what I've drawn. The difference. And I'm assuming here a context where the geometries are closed, there's no boundary, and the universe is closed on itself. There are additional issues if there is a boundary. And the issue with what is different is that whereas Newton's laws give us, so for example, if you give some initial slice, you tell what the geometry is and how fast it's changing in some notion of time, you can solve the equation to get the full space-time. Just like if you give the where this chalk is and its trajectory now in the laws, you can predict its trajectory. So there's the same thing. The differences are, one, that there are evolution from singular points which have infinite density, which one doesn't have so commonly in Newtonian physics. And then most importantly, the slicing is arbitrary. So if I wanted to see, to slice through space and time differently, make taking advantage of the freedom allowed by relativity, that simultaneity depends on the observer, a different succession of geometries can correspond to different observers' view of the same universe, of the same history. And that makes quite a few complications because there's no unique distinction between what is time and what is space. But if you choose some slicing or some condition your slices have to satisfy, you get a unique evolution. So I think, does that answer the question? I think the space and configurations we're going to come back to.